here on Life Matters. A major report on family law was released. The Federal House of Representatives Family and Community Affairs Committee published the results of its six-month inquiry into child custody arrangements when a family separates. The 10-member committee of Coalition and Labor MPs did not support the idea of a rebuttable presumption of 50-50 shared residency for children when parents separate, and it called for two new pre-court stages for all couples, except for cases involving violence and abuse. These two new stages were a new entry point or shop front for parents thinking of separating, and a new families tribunal. I guess the basic message of a very substantial report was that the family court should be a last resort and lawyers should be kept out of everything as much as possible. So to discuss these key recommendations and the role of lawyers, if any, I'm joined by John Dewar, Professor of Law at Griffith University in Queensland and Chair of the Family Law Council, although he's speaking as an individual today, Nicole Cooner, Melbourne solicitor and author of The Common Sense of Common Sense Law. It's a book with advice on resolving legal problems quickly and preventing problems arising. And also joining us is Kay Hull, National Party MP for the Riverina in New South Wales. And Kay chaired the federal inquiry into these child custody arrangements and issued the report Every Picture Tells a Story. And the report was released on the 29th of December last year. Everybody, welcome to Life Matters and thanks for joining us. Kay, just before I go into your major findings, tell us about the title of the report, Every Picture Tells a Story.
Well, Every Picture Tells a Story really emanated out of the fact that a little boy actually drew these pictures, and this little boy's name was Jack, and Jack had a significant story to tell. Once I was given these pictures, I looked at it, determined that that picture, each of his pictures told a story, and I think it was the classic story of exactly what the report was all about.
Can you just describe one of the pictures that really struck you?
Well, Jack has a mum's house and dad's house. He has a post in between. He's split there. He has a home sweet home mat on mum's house and a home sweet home mat on daddy's house. And he travels between them, and he's split between those two houses. He also has another picture that he indicates where he's very concerned when his mum and dad fights, and he likes to see it when they make up. And you know, it depicts his mum saying, I'm sorry I yelled at you, and he says, dad says, I'm sorry I called you a cow. So it's like he has also pictures of ambulances, and when mum and daddy fight, it makes his head feel like it will explode. It's a pretty significant story, but he also indicates in the inside of the cover how he gets to his dad's house and how his living arrangements are really factored.
And how old was Jack?
Jack was 9 years old.
Kay Hull, we covered the debate prior to your report coming out about whether there should be law reform for a rebuttable presumption of joint care or joint custody. Your committee decided not to support that. Why was that?
Well, in fact, we did support we did support joint residence and shared parenting responsibilities. What we didn't do was we didn't support legislation of that issue, simply because we found in our hearings and inquiries, and certainly in the submissions that came to us, that it at times was not the best approach to legislate and then have people fighting it out in court as to the rebuttal of that legislation. So we did in fact say that there should be a clear presumption that equal shared parent responsibility be the first tier in post-separation decision making. We just did not legislate that.
I see. Aim for it but not legislate for it. Yeah. Can I just ask you, you're using the language there of the Reformed Act, shared parental responsibility residency, and yet in the cover of the report it talks about child custody, the old language. Is there significance in your shift to that newer language?
Well, the fact was we were given this inquiry reference, terms of reference, by the Attorney General and the Minister for Youth and Community Affairs, and I think that they had conferred with the Prime Minister on this. That is the reference we were given on child custody, and we went with that reference simply because, obviously, since child custody has been removed in the reform, it has still resounded that people still think of children and of ownership and custody. So, obviously, that's why the Ministers and the Prime Minister sister called it child custody in their terms of reference.
It's still the language that most people use, even if it's not in the Act. Can I just ask you, Nicole Cooner, as someone who promotes preventing problems arising and resolving them as quickly as possible, what were your how did you respond to the decision not to change the law in relation to 50-50 parenting, but rather encourage it rather than legislate for it?
Well, I certainly agree. I think that rebuttable presumption was going to be easily rebutted. You know, I mean, it's a situation where there is often shared care, but it's often not equal shared care, and you're going to have to prove exactly what extent it was shared care. And I think it was going to be a really difficult presumption to have to deal with, and I'm very glad that they're retaining the status quo in relation to that one.
Professor John Dewar, is that your view as well, that the right decision's been made on this presumption issue?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the committee made the right call there. I agree with Nicole. I think it would have been a very difficult presumption to put into practice and probably would have resulted in a lot more litigation than we have at the moment.
Kay Hull, that question of litigation, would you agree with the way I summed up your report, Every Picture Tells a Story, that you're aiming to keep the lawyers out as much as possible to prevent people going to litigation?
We are. It was quite evident during the inquiry process and reading the submissions and with all the discussion that took place that it seems that people feel aggravated that when law becomes involved in it or the legal side of it, an adversarial side becomes involved in separation, then they lose control and they no longer have control of the outcome. And so we felt that what should be happening is that it should be two parents sitting down determining where a child or children spend their time post-separation rather than two lawyers or perhaps judges.
What's the new entry point or shop front all about? Because the whole spirit of the family court, family law reforms, has always been to try and get people to sit down and do it. It's actually making it happen, isn't it?
Well, it is, and I think the issue is it seems to be sterile. It seems to be it's quite a confronting and daunting experience for somebody who's never been involved in a legal process
to go to a court.
Yeah, and it is certainly into a family law court. As much as we try to make them friendly, and the fact is, it is a daunting experience. And some people have more control than others. Some people are more capable of entering that system than others. And what we've said is, if you can sort your issues out, basically, we'd like an administrative process that enables you to change the issues as your children grow, and as should be living documents. As children grow, their needs change, and parents' needs change. If you repartner, you need to be able to go back into a simple administrative process to be able to try and resolve that issue.
So, Kay, how would the new entry point, as you call it in the report, or a shop front, where would that be? Who'd be staffing it? And what would happen for a couple if they went there?
We'd like to see in something like a Medicare office, where you currently have Medicare offices situated all over Australia. You currently have family assistance runs out of there. We'd like to see something like a Medicare family care office where you can go in and get your paperwork. You can take it home. You can have a look at it. You can be referred to mediation if you think you can't resolve this issue. You can try the process before you go into a more strict process, that being the tribunal, where somebody, if you can't make your decision, somebody will make them for you. But we would hope it would be a far less adversarial, because we've removed that sense of legal, reporting and law out of the whole process, and we've said, OK, you try and resolve it as parents should.
John Dewar from Griffith University, what's your thought on that shopfront idea away from the court?
Oh, I think it's a great idea. I think anything that provides a single point of reference for people who need advice and information is a great step forward. The Family Law Pathways Advisory Group that reported about 2 years ago recommended something similar, and in fact considered the shop front concept, but thought it was too expensive. I guess my only concern about it is whether there are really the resources there to fund it to the level that would be required. It's probably quite an expensive operation, and my fear would be that if it were established, it would simply drain resources from other parts of the family law system, like legal aid and the courts.
Professor Dewar, don't the counselling services provide that kind of advice and referral?
They do. They're a bit fragmented, though, at the moment. Some services are provided by the family court, although not as extensive as they used to be for budget reasons. There's been a shift towards more community-based information and service provision. But what's that meant? What that's meant is that there's been more of a fragmentation, if you like, of information and service provision in the system, and it can actually become quite confusing for people to know where to go.
On Life Matters this morning, we're talking about Every Picture Tells a Story, the report on the federal inquiry into child custody arrangements in the event of family separation that was brought down on the 29th of December last year while Life Matters was in summer season. And my guests are John Dewar, Professor of Law at Griffith Uni, Kay Hull, the National Party MP for the Riverina, who chaired the federal inquiry, and Nicole Cooner, a solicitor from Melbourne. Kay, there's been a lot of media coverage since you released this report about a proposed three-person tribunal. In essence, who will be sitting on it and why will it be any different from a court?
We think it would be very different. We think, number one, you would have somebody with legal experience. You would have a psychologist and somebody maybe like out of a counselling mediating situation that would be, as I said, less confronting. But it would give you every opportunity and it would refer you to counselling if you required that. And if you then, as I said, would give you every opportunity to come up with the desired outcome, and that being a shared care responsibility, parental responsibility, a right child's right to be able to see both its parents, unless there is, of course, extenuating circumstances involved with proven conflict and proven entrenched violence.
And indeed, you recommend that there be an investigative arm of any such new tribunal that would quickly investigate allegations of child abuse or sexual assault or domestic violence?
We did, simply because at this point in time what you have is generally you have state authorities in the police service, etc., who are dealing with allegations of domestic violence, sexual abuse, you know, mental, physical abuse of any kind. Then you have a family law court, you have a state system of AVOs, and often those two reports never ever get to be looked at and combined at the time of decision making and handing down decisions. And so basically what we've looked at is we didn't want to duplicate those issues and should not overtake those current docs areas in state arenas. What it should do is it should be able to have an investigative arm that can call on those people who have been involved in the allegation of violence or abuse or sexual abuse and be able to resolve the issue with respect to everyone having all of the information. Now, that currently doesn't happen in all cases.
And Kay Hull, such a tribunal would be able to make binding orders that could be appealed to the family court. Would the couple and the child be able to have legal representation?
Can I just say to you, in this situation, in what we've recommended, the only recourse to the family law court is if you were thought that you proved that you had been denied natural justice.
I see. So you would try to limit the capacity to appeal to the family court, but it would be there in certain circumstances.
Well, it could be. The only circumstances that we would envisage is that those proven cases of entrenched conflict violence, and we know they're there. They're not the normal. They're not the maximum. But we would believe that they would go directly to a family court scenario because that's a criminal issue and is not to do with the dealing of children and where they spend their lives. We would be suggesting that the orders would be binding. We found that constitutionally anything that is in the future would be binding. We couldn't be doing anything that had passed orders on it. And the only recourse to the family law court would be if you believed you had been denied natural justice.
And could you be represented by a lawyer at the tribunal if you were the mother, the father, or the child?
At the tribunal's discretion, at times we see you couldn't call them in individually. It would be at the tribunal's discretion only if the tribunal believed that one of the parties or both of the parties could not understand and were not capable or didn't have the capacity to be involved in depth in the decision-making process, and maybe one person might be superior to others in their ability to be able to present themselves.
John Dewar, your thoughts on the tribunal?
Well, I think it's certainly an interesting idea, but it's one that the Family Law Council supported for the purposes of dealing with disputes around contact enforcement. I guess I've got two thoughts about it. One is that Given the proposal that some cases should proceed directly to the family court, namely those involving serious conflict or violence or substance abuse, the cases that go to the family court at the moment are pretty much those sorts of cases anyway. So I'm not sure how much of a difference we'd see in terms of the distribution of work between the proposed tribunal and the family court. I think what might happen instead is that because of the shop front being the primary point of contact between individuals and the family law system, we might see more people getting drawn into the tribunal system than currently get drawn into any sort of court system. And it may be that we would end up with an unintended consequence of, possibly unintended consequence of, more people being drawn into a sort of semi-formal process where at the moment they resolve disputes informally with the assistance of legal aid commissions or a family lawyer's advice or just doing it between themselves. So it's an interesting idea, but it's something that would have to be given a great deal of thought in terms of whether it really would informalise the system rather than increase the formality of it.
Nicole Cooner, if I could come to you as someone who's written the Common Sense Law book, and I know you're a Melbourne solicitor, but you and your own husband separated. How did you sort things out between about the care of your child?
Well, we separated 2 years ago, and because we're both lawyers, it was quite easy for us to do because we're both experienced negotiators, you know. So we use the medium of the email quite regularly to deal and to communicate with each other. So when we weren't feeling really happy about talking to each other directly, you know, we would email each other. And we've also found that that we've been able to just really communicate in person in front of our son quite amicably, and often that involves a little bit of acting, you know. But I mean, over the years, you know, we actually get on quite well, and we communicate with each other by email about what films we've been seeing and things like that. So you find that over time it gets a lot easier, although in the beginning, you know, it is very stressful.
And how old is your son now?
He's now five, nearly five and a half. Yeah.
And how do you divide his physical care, the time, and also the decision-making about every aspect of his life?
Well, he spends at the moment about four nights a week with me, and sometimes it varies just according to, you know, the arrangement. So we try to keep it flexible. So it's three nights with the father, and he's got a fantastic relationship with his father. And as to the other question, sorry, can you repeat the other question?
Well, I'm interested in the decision-making, because my understanding of the recommendations of this report, Every Picture Tells a Story, is that while they haven't gone for law reform to make a 50-50 timeshare a rebuttable presumption, they're still strongly advocating that in practice all the decisions and care is shared as much as possible 50-50. So I'm wondering about the decision-making, you know, what school, what hair, what holiday.
Yes. Well, as I say, I mean, because he's with us and he changes house so frequently, we obviously have to talk about things fairly closely. And I, you know, ideally like him to communicate with me by phone if there's been any accident or something like that. I mean, that's always by the by. But I mean, in relation to the big issues, I think we also deal with those a lot by email because we're so busy, and to be spending time on mobile phones or just even after hours on the phone is often just exhausting. So when you're sitting in front of a computer, you often say, well, these are the pros and cons of him going to this school, and these are the pros and cons of perhaps having this operation or not having this procedure that he might need. You know, and that can be a really effective way of dealing with it. I mean, obviously you wouldn't put anything in writing. This is one of the tips in my book, Common Sense, or you wouldn't put anything in writing if you didn't want to be held to it. But I find that's a great way of dealing with the person when, you know, you're not on the one hand, you might be trying to avoid inflaming tension, so you may not want to talk in front of the child about these issues, obviously. And secondly, when you sit and write something down, it often makes you really think about it more clearly.
Mm. John Dewar, there's an example of, I guess, precisely what Kay Hull's mixed political committee is trying to promote. From your experience as chair of the Family Law Council, could more Australian couples separating achieve what Nicole has just described? And are the steps that this report, the recommendations of this report, likely to foster that?
To answer your first question, I think the answer is yes. I think the information and advice to people who don't have the knowledge that Nicole and her partner had to help to do it themselves is not as easily available as it could be, and that's goes back to the issue of coordination or lack of it that I was talking about before. In terms of the recommendations in the report and whether they will help, I think they will. I think particularly single point of entry would be a great step forward. Again, I just re-emphasise my concern about the cost of it and whether it's really feasible. And in terms of the other recommendations in the report about post-parenting support, I think those are all extremely positive. So, yeah, I think the answer to both questions is yes.
Is yes. Look, thank you very much. I haven't gone to the question of whether our Prime Minister and Cabinet will support Kay Hull's committee. I just thought we'd begin with the issues themselves. But thank you very much to Kay Hull, National Party MP for the Riverina in New South Wales and the Chair of the Federal Inquiry. The report, Every Picture Tells a Story, we'll put our details on the Life Matters website. Thank you to Nicole Cooner, Melbourne solicitor and author of Common Sense Law and Professor of Law at Griffith University in Queensland, John Dewar. You're listening to Life Matters on ABC Radio National.